earth, and sky.
The power sector is the single largest source of emissions globally, and it's one of the areas that we really need to focus on if we are going to put the world on a path to avoid 2 degrees or more of global mean temperature rise. Wind power is really the main supply-side technology that can make a difference in the short term.
You're listening to Steve Sawyer, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Sawyer is Secretary General of the Global Wind Energy Council, a trade association that represents the wind industry at the international level. At the Copenhagen Climate Summit in late 2009, Sawyer spoke more about the status and trends of wind power in the world today with Earth Sky's Jorge Salazar.
Mr. Sawyer, welcome to Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science.
Thanks very much.
What are some important trends for people to think about?
Well, I mean, the industry has been growing at a rate of about 28% per year growth in cumulative installed capacity. We'll be up just over 150,000 megawatts or 150 gigawatts of total installed capacity at the end of this year, distributed roughly equally between the three major markets in Europe, North America, and Asia, with Asia, India, and China. The biggest trend, I suppose, in the last few years is that is the dramatic growth in the markets in China and the United States. China has become the fastest growing market in the world by far. It will be the single largest market this year. And the United States just last year took over first place in the global sweepstakes from Germany, which had held the number one position for a very, very long time. At the moment, China seems to be on a slightly faster growth trajectory than the United States, but we're hoping with the new administration, if they get their legislation through Congress, we can see a new round of accelerated growth in North America, and that's the kind of race between China and the United States that we'd really like to see.
You talked about wind's potential to take out 1.5 gigatons of CO2 equivalent greenhouse gases each year by 2020.
Global CO2 emissions now are 28, 29 gigatons, and so, it would still be in the single digits in terms of the impact on the total emissions today, but a significant number of single digits. What that will mean in 2020 depends very much on how demand develops in the emissions profile in other sectors as well as in the power sector. So there's a lot of variables in there if you want to put it in specific percentage numbers, but say 5, 6, 7, 8% of the global effort in emissions reductions that would be required in that time. In the power sector, we can do it a bit more precisely, and we're looking at, depending on how demand develops, looking at emissions reductions or supplying somewhere between 11 and 12.5% of global electricity supply. And if we are able to do that and we're displacing the global average amount of CO2 in the electricity system, then that's how we get to the number of 1.5 billion tons per year by 2020, cumulative about 10 billion tons between now and 2020. If we were to do that and compare it with the emissions reductions pledges that are on the table here in Copenhagen so far, if we take the low end of those ranges, then the wind energy alone would be supplying 3/4 of those. If we take the upper end of the range that's on the table at the moment, then wind energy would be supplying about 1/2 of those. Puts us in a very positive light, but on the other hand, it illustrates much more importantly that the level of ambition of the emissions reductions of the Annex I countries is very, very low at present, and that needs to come up. And that's, you haven't heard that message only from me here in Copenhagen. I mean, almost everybody is saying is that ambition level has to go up very, very substantially, and that it can, and that we have the technologies, not only wind power, but certainly on the efficiency side, and solar PV is coming on very strong. There's great potential in biomass and small hydro and other renewable energy technologies, and avoided deforestation and all sorts of other things that can be done to get us on a path to avoiding the worst ravages of climate change. And that's, we stand ready to do our part. It's just that the gentlemen down the hall have to do their part first.
Give us your thoughts on trends in some of these other countries that we haven't spoke of, the emerging economies, Latin America, Africa, some of the Pacific countries.
We have been pushing for some time, in Brazil in particular, but also in Mexico and Chile and Peru, believing that Latin America is the next likely major market boom area for our technology. There's a wind-only auction in Brazil this year. During 2009 in Brazil, they installed about 120 or 130% of more than they had in the entire 10 years previously. So wind power is getting up close to 1,000 megawatts in Brazil by the end of this year. But that's only the tip of the iceberg of the potential in Brazil. And as I said, the government organized just Monday of this week the first ever wind-only auction. So we're hoping to get a steady... Same question for the United States. What's needed there is you need a steady, clear perspective of the government goals and the policy frameworks. You're going to be looking in a period 5 to 10 to 15 years out into the future. And that will make the difference between people looking to sell machines into the market, which of course everybody is interested in doing, and putting up plant and manufacturing capacity, which of course is what all of the countries want, is for the major international players as well as domestic companies to invest in manufacturing and installation and operation and maintenance facilities in the country, which creates lots of local value and lots of local jobs. And that's, of course, what everybody wants, and that's what we'd like to supply. We just need to have the clear policy frameworks in place in order to do that.
Yeah, this is from all the 8,000 or so different parts inside the wind turbines and everything else as it connects into the grid. Mm-hmm. A final question for you, just a wrap-up question. What's the most important thing that you'd like people today to know about climate change?
Yeah, the most important thing for people to know about climate change is really the fact that we have the technology to address the problem. We have the money to address the problem. We have the institutions and the infrastructure to address the problem. But what we don't have is time. We don't have a lot of time. We've lost most of the last 10 to 15 years in terms of getting emissions under control since it was first acknowledged at an international level in 1992 by the signing of the Framework Convention that this is a serious problem that requires a global response. We haven't really done much in those 15 years, and that means that we have to act now, or our children and our grandchildren will seriously regret it.
Mr. Sawyer, thank you for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Steve Sawyer, Secretary General of the Global Wind Energy Council. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. Earth Sky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.